The Youth's Instructor, June 1, 1893. Words to the Young. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. How often we feel that we have been dealt with unjustly, that things have been said concerning us that were untrue, and that we have been set in a false light before others. When we are thus tried, we shall need to keep strict guard over our spirit and our words. We shall need to have the love of Christ, that we may not cherish an unforgiving spirit. Let us not think that unless those who have injured us confess their wrongs, we are justified in withholding from them our forgiveness. We should not accumulate our grievances, holding them to our hearts, until the one we think guilty has humbled his heart by repentance and confession. This is his part, no doubt, and the thing he must do in order to clear his soul from the sin he has committed. But with him we have nothing to do in this matter, and should only seek to stand before God in the way he would have us, that our prayers be not hindered. We are to have a spirit of pity, of compassion toward those who have trespassed against us, whether or not they confess their faults. If they fail to repent and make confession, their sins will stand registered in the books above to confront them in the day of judgment. But if they say, "I repent," then our duty is plain. We are freely to forgive from the heart their trespasses against us, as we hope to be forgiven by our Heavenly Father. However sorely they may have wounded us, we are not to cherish our grievances and sympathize with ourselves over our injuries, but as we hope to be pardoned for our offenses against God, so must we pardon those who have done evil to us. Christ taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors," and added, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses." Nor even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We are not to talk of our wounds and bruises, but to bring them to him who is the mighty and successful healer of all our sorrows. Christ has suffered, and he identifies his interests with those of his suffering children. And if our life is hid with Christ in God, Jesus will bear our griefs, for it is he that is wounded in the person of his saints, And he who injures one of Christ's little ones brings upon himself the charge of injuring the Lord Jesus. Oh, if we did but realize this truth as we should, how careful would we be in what we say of others, the spirit we cherish, the actions we perform. When we are reviled, how strong is the temptation to revile in return. But in doing this, we show ourselves as bad as the reviler. When tempted to revile, send up a silent prayer that God will give you His grace, and keep the tongue in silence, that your lips may speak no guile. Peter asked, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Then, to impress more fully the lesson of forgiveness upon us, he gave this parable. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. God so loved the world that he has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ has borne our sins, forgiven our trespasses. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Then will any of God's children, to whom he has forgiven so much, act as did this merciless servant unto his fellow servant? Will the youth for whom Christ has died be anything but pitiful? Will they cherish anything but the meekness and lowliness of Christ? Will they not from the heart forgive those who trespass against them? Will you not, if anyone has done you a wrong, and is too proud and stubborn to say to you, I repent, go to the offender and say, I love you for Christ's sake, and I forgive you the injury you have done me. Jesus will witness and approve of this deed of love. And as you do to others, it shall be done again to you. Our worship cannot be acceptable to God if our hearts are filled with bitterness toward our brethren, or to those not of our faith. Jesus has given us an example that we should follow in his steps and manifest compassion and love and goodwill toward all. Let us cultivate a kind spirit, a spirit of forbearance, and tender, pitying love toward those who, when under temptation, have done us grievous wrongs. If possible, let us heal these wounds and close the door of temptation by removing every barrier the wrongdoer has erected between himself and us. Humble your heart before God and come close to the one who would deal unjustly with you, and it may be that the difficulty may all be healed. The Lord delights to bestow his blessings upon those who will honor him, who will acknowledge his mercy, and show that they appreciate his love to them by manifesting the same gracious characteristic to those around them. Oh, may the youth be able to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us."